Blog Talk Radio.
It's your fault. Yeah, you call that number now. It's all good. Yeah, Brother Ken, that 347 number. Yeah. Oh, it's on. Oh, you just called? Yeah. Call 347-884. Okay. Okay, I apologize. Hold on. Here you go. Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Yes, sir. I apologize for the delay, but I'm gonna go ahead and get right into it. Thank you all for being patient. It happened every blue moon, but I'm just thankful that on my part I didn't give up or cancel out and whatnot. But I want to say this evening at 7 p.m. Central Time, it's about 7 maybe round 715. I thank everyone for tuning in throughout this world and on this earth, for tuning in to the Black Box Show, self-improvement, self-help show. And we have a special guest, as I will call him, a brother that's been in the struggle, a brother that may not have walked the same walk that we have walked, but a brother that is our own. And the time that we are living in, we're so quick to look at the outside appearance and not understand the internal appearance. But I'm so grateful for our brother Pimpin' Ken to be on with his newest book, The Art of Human Chess, A Study Guide to Winning. This brother, he been all over the world. This brother, he would tell you more about him, but he have no security with him. He love his people. He love going among people that have no clue of what's going on, because so many times we hear the media, we hear what other people may say about a particular person's lifestyle. But I'm grateful for him to be my brother, and I look at him as an uncle as well. But to introduce to some and to present to others, our brother, Brother Pimpin' Ken.
Hey, how you doing, brother? What's going on? that was a very welcoming little introduction. I love it. How you doing?
I'm on top of the world, and I'm just striving to continue to be in the dojo within myself. And I'm just grateful for a brother like you to keep me on my P's and Q's, because I know it's not the flesh that's talking, it's the spirit that's talking. And so, you know, your name is a brand. And I wasn't gonna say Ken Ivey, which is your real name, because the way God have made you, like he made Paul, you know, in the days of Jesus, you know, Paul, you know, he lived the lifestyle of being a murderer. But one thing I can appreciate, Paul, he went undercover with it. He was straightforward, because they knew when Paul came to the town, to the country, what he was all about. But how God let him go for so long and stepped in and made him a soldier for him. And so I'm just grateful for you not to be undercover with this, but to be out in the open, because a lot of times, Brother Ken, people see the past and hold on to the past. You know, I have family members, you know, hold on to my past. But I said, you know, it's one thing to be the black sheep, but have you ever seen a black sheep wear white meat? So I'm just grateful to have a brother like you among us, because you have a lot of young minds that is tuning in, religious people that is tuning in, people from all over the world with different backgrounds and different lifestyles. So I'm just blessed by the best, and without any hesitation, to have a brother of your magnitude to be among us, because Pimpin' Ken is a brand name. You know, you go to the sweatshop, you go over there in China, you know, they make the same type of shoe, but put different brands on the shoe. So I can look at it like that when it comes to you and many others.
And I just want to say one correction. I do have security, my Social Security card. That's the only security I have. And, you know, I want to just say to your listeners that, you know, it comes a time in a man's life where he has to make a conscientious decision. And one of the decisions I decided to make over 15 years ago was to try to ameliorate or try to correct the defects in our community. People like myself are generally looked at as an outcast or a person who is very influential in the wrong perspective. But what people don't realize is that I've been having a film company for the last 15 years. I have inspired more young men to go out there and start their own independent film companies, probably than any Harvard, Yale, or Oxford business school. A lot of young men have been inspired to become authors because of myself. I wrote not only one book, but two books. My first, 48 Laws of Gain, which is a parody of the book, The 48 Laws of Power, because we as so-called black folks in America, we need something too. And the young people, the downtrodden, the forgotten, they need something too. So my purpose and my intended purpose was to write a book that would simulate or that would have similar characteristics of the book, The 48 Laws of Power, and then The Art of War, which is by Sun Tzu, to write a book called The Art of Human Chess, to have which is another parity, which is to have similarity. So, you know, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to reach out and touch all those guys who've been to prison like me, who've been shot like me, who done shot at people like me, who done burglarized houses like me, who, you know, done been out there in the streets and, you know, played the pimp game like me, people who have been criminals and, you know, downtrodden, and, you know, who don't have no one to speak for. So those are people that I speak to. Those are people that I'm trying to target. And a lot of people, a lot of young men and women has been inspired by my actions. And so, therefore, you know, I call myself PK. A lot of people think it stands for Pippin King, but it also stands for Professor King, because I'm the professor. And I teach, you know, in a different style. You know, the preacher, I love the preacher. I love the imam. I love the minister. I know that they are very pivotal and very essential in our community. But a lot of the young brothers is not trying to listen to the imam or the minister or the preacher. They want somebody that is likened unto themselves, somebody who's been through the struggle, somebody who knows right from wrong, somebody who knows how to go out there and run a con, somebody who knows how to go out there and sell dope, change their life, and then try to be a positive inspiration to them. So that's me. You know what I'm saying? I try to show these guys how to go out there and get deals. I got six-figure deals, Brother Muhammad. You know, I got six-figure deals. I went to 600 Avenue, you know, the biggest building, one of the biggest buildings in Manhattan, the Simon Schuster building, owned by CBS. You know CBS, the one to keep an eye open for you. And I went to these people, man, yeah. And these people gave me six figures. You know what I'm saying, brother? So,
yes,
I mean,
sir.
This is what I'm trying to teach these young people, is I'm trying to teach them how to go out there and do it in legitimate ways. You know, you don't need a pistol. You can take a book. I did an interview on Hot 97 in New York about 7 years ago, and the guy was trying to castigate and criticize me and just make me into this real bad person. I said, would you rather for me to come in here with a book or to come in here with a 4-5 and rob the joint? And then he, you know, it was so shocking to him that he was able to see what I was saying. I said, here I am, a brother that's trying to do something positive, trying to change my life, you know, coming in here on a positive level, and you're trying to criminalize me, you know, which is so prevalent in America. That's what happens. America loves to criminalize so-called black folks in America because they feel that we are all criminals because they look at the evening news and they think that that's a reflection of the black community. But it was a professor on C-SPAN the other day, he said the black community is threefold. You have the conservative black in the ghetto, you have the working class in the ghetto, and then you have the 20% who are the criminals and the pimps and the hoes and the players. He said these people only represent a microcosm of our community, but the other people, you know, they bought their homes during the Industrial Revolution when you had GM, when you had Allen Bradley and all these companies that were moving into the ghettos, that was, you know, giving people opportunities to work and build their homes and so on and so forth. Those people never left our community. They have 40, 50-year mortgages. They're still there, you know, but people like to say, well, that's the totality of the ghetto. No, the ghetto in the urban community is comprised of all type of people. Now, in my community in Milwaukee, we have about 20% of white people that live in the urban community because they got tired of living in the suburbs and it was closer to downtown. You know, they can save gas money. So, I mean, people have a total misconception of what's going on, you know, and they really overrate and underrate our community. So, you know, my theme and my whole perspective is to try to dispel the myth and to show young people like myself, you know, people who've been through the things that I've been through, the young people that have been through the things that I've been through. I'm not trying to say Sister Clara. I'm not trying to say, you know, Elder Smith or those people. I'm trying to say these young dudes out here that's got to, and don't realize that every time you kill your brother, you kill yourself. You know, every time, you know, you sell drugs to your neighbor, you're selling drugs to your friend's mother or your friend's father or your friend's uncle, you know, your friend's brother. You know what I mean? We're killing our own community. So if they see me doing something, Muhammad, Brother Muhammad, they see me doing something positive, they see me writing books. You know, it takes a long time to write a book. You even wrote several books yourself. So if they see you doing these things and they see you being a positive reflection, you know, give you an example, my Instagram. If they go to my Instagram, @RealPimpKen, people will find out that I didn't wrote over 300 to 400 positive affirmations positive posts, because I don't want people to just look at me as this type of person that's trying to, you know, get over on people or trying to manipulate women or what have you, what have you. I want people to see that, you know, my change is serious. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm seriously trying to, you know, to better myself. I'm seriously trying to show brothers a different route. And if they follow me and if they listen to me and they watch what I do, some of them may be saved. You know, I mean, it's really upon the individual to make that conscious decision whether he wants to do better or not. You feel me?
Right. Yes, sir. And you know, on that note, as far as changing the minds of young people, you know, I did a Facebook blast inviting people to tune in today, and one of the people, they said maybe, and they said, they sent me a picture of Black Jesus. They said, well, afterwards, referring to you afterwards, tell him about Jesus Christ. And I was, and I responded back, I said, well, brother, he already know. You know, it's really saddening to really see that a person think they know you. Is just like a coloring book. How do you really understand the characters in the coloring book will be painted a certain color if you haven't used your imagination to identify, okay, well, how would this character look in red, brown, yellow, blue, and purple? And, you know, we so quick to stereotype ourselves, and the reason why we so hard on ourselves because we don't even understand it's the enemy within. And so if I'm looking at with my narrow-minded, looking at Brother Ken as, you know, he just popping corn, he just shooting game, blah, blah, blah. Really, that's what I'm doing. And really, if we be fully honest, because, you know, when I had conversation with you, Brother Ken, I wouldn't even have you on the show if I thought you was full of game. I just felt a certain vibration, and it wasn't no vibration because the wind was blowing strong, but I felt your vibe through the phone because I know how a sincere person, a person that's dedicated to uplift the consciousness of the mind of people and to remove falsehood from the brain. And I said, well, this brother is sincere. Back home, one of my brothers, he's a pimp. You know, and one of the things that most family members, they don't like to see him. But I always go around the brother, and he appreciated, because one thing I can say, that anybody can change. So I'm not here to judge, and I know how it feels. So I responded back. So I said, well, he already know about Jesus Christ. You know, when people hear my mouth open, the first thing they say, what church you go to? Well, yeah, so I said, well, you know, I visit many places of worship, but, you know, I know him. I can pick up that book by myself and read and identify the falsehood and the truth that I can have a light of understanding about. But one of the things I appreciate you doing, first of all, I appreciate you coming on this show. I have seen you do different interviews, and one of the things I would say that didn't happen, that could have happened, I don't knock the other people that interviewed you. One of the things I like to do, I love to get people to support their own kind. You know, I can ask you 1,000 questions about, you know, what he did, what she did. But on this show, we believe in having listeners. And you can download this show. It's to go right now to PIMPINKEN.net and go on this brother's site, and whatever book or DVD, audio book that have an attraction in your life, purchase it. You know, it's the first of the month, so ain't nobody really got no excuse. It's May the 1st, and tomorrow, you know, everybody getting a list together what they're going to get for the fight tomorrow. You know, well, you know, the real fight is the real fight of the century, and the real fight right now is the enemy within. And once you can tell the enemy within, look, I know you telling me I can do something else with this $25 or more, but I'm going to patronize. You know, and I'm a invest in myself. It's really an investment. And when we make a $25 investment, if that $25 investment, if somebody had a seminar and say, I need everybody to invest $25, I guarantee you in 30 days, your bank account going to increase. You know, if you used to making $200 a week, I guarantee you, you can make $1,000 a week. I guarantee you, money back guarantee. Well, this is what we're dealing with right now. Once you make an investment in yourself and you study that book from front to back, you will see the results if you practice it. That's the thing. You got to practice it. You got to have some patience. You got to have some discipline. So that's the purpose of Pimp and Ken, to be on here, for us to understand that anybody we can get information from. You know, like he said about your emails, your ministers, your preachers, and I can go as far as your mark. You know, everybody has something to teach you with, to reach you with. But here go a brother that have been out there in the trenches. This brother has even been to jail, not for days, not for weeks and months, but for some years. But look at what God have done for him. And see, I came out of a lifestyle. He came out of a lifestyle. That's why we on this phone, to let you all know you can change your life right now. So I just want this brother to enlighten us about this book, The Art of Human Chess. In this book, Brother Ken, what can we get out of this book with the chapters that's in this book that can help us, that can help our family and our community?
Well, first of all, I have to be candid. The biggest problem with a lot of our young men and women and our people in general, is that we don't understand the mechanics of life. We don't understand how things really work. We don't understand how business is really conducted in America. We don't understand how ministers and politicians and people of power really operate. And my position is that I want to show people, you know, through my lessons and through my teachings, through my book, The Art of Human Chess, The Study Guide to Winning. Notice the word is winning. Yeah. How to win, and not only how to win hard, but how to win precisely. You know, and so I have certain tactics and certain methods, certain plots and plans and different ways of explaining how to actually win in America. You know, I talk about Barack Obama in the book. I say, you know, I talk about how Barack Obama won the presidency of the United States of America. A lot of people don't understand that, because the book is called The Art of Human Chess. I call Barack Obama a chess player. He's a very strategic thing that he done, from getting Oprah Winfrey to go to Iowa 7 months before the primary, to getting Oprah to get these people to endorse him, to building his name up and having field offices in Iowa way before the primary even started, made it possible that when primary time came and Hillary, who was the presumptive nominee, who was the person who was expected to win because of the chess move that Barack Obama put down, the people in Iowa were so familiar with him that Hillary Clinton, even though it was a popular name, it didn't mean a darn thing that day, because Barack Obama had put the right plans and the right moves and the right strategies and the right plots and the right deception in play. And this is how business is conducted in America. Not only did he get Oprah, but he also got Mark Zuckerberg, who is the owner of Facebook, to allow him to put donation buttons on everyone's Facebook and raise billions of dollars in small increments. And we all know that the presidency of the United States is always purchased via money. So the biggest question was, okay, he won Iowa, but where was he going to get the money from? And as a strategic chess player and a mastermind, Barack Obama was able to, he got from Mark Zuckerberg and raised billions of dollars. He went over to Germany. The people over there looked at him as a rock star. It gave him assimilated, not a real, but assimilated a foreign policy experience. You know, the things that he was doing was so wrong. I mean, let's get off of Barack Obama. I'm just telling you what the book is talking about. I'm not talking about pimps and hoes. I'm talking about real people, people who are in power. Let's talk about Nelson Mandela. I talk about him in the book, how he sacrificed his life for 27 years and threw a prison cell. Him and his wife, Wendy, were able to galvanize the entire world and create sanctions against the apartheid government of South Africa. And because of that, you know what I'm saying? He almost crippled the economy of South Africa. They had to free him. Once they freed him, he became president of South Africa. That was a cold chess move, man. That's when I say human chess. I'm talking about masterminds, clever, intelligent people who got real game, real knowledge and wisdom that make moves. And this is what I'm trying to teach my young brothers out there. I'm saying, listen, man, you know, if you follow the examples of Martin Luther King, the examples of Barack Obama, the examples of Nelson Mandela, you will see it don't make a difference. It ain't no difference between a con man and a stockbroker. Only they both lie for money. The difference is the billions and the millions versus the thousands. If you change your strategy, if you change your ideal, your purpose in life, and use these same tactics that we use every day in the streets, like the drug dealers. You know what I mean? A lot of times people say drug dealers can run Fortune 500 companies. Of course they can, because they deal with billions and millions of dollars if they ever make it to that status. So I'm trying to tell them, look, don't focus on the negative. Focus on the positive. And then I teach them in my book how to think like Barack Obama, how to think like Nelson Mandela, how to change the I can't to the I can, change those negative perspectives into a positive perspective, and let's get some real money in the hood. Let's get some real money. Let's raise our communities for real. Let's do like it was when in the 70s when we had our own hotels, when we, you know, it was black on black. You know, we used to go to each other's hotels. We went to each other's restaurants. We didn't go to Applebee's and Fridays and all that. We went to Mama's Kitchen and Earl's Barbecue. You know what I'm saying? We need to get back to those days. But all we got to do is learn how to think and learn how to apply the science of chess. We got to learn how to make chess moves. We got to learn how to plot. You know, when you playing chess, you got to plan your moves 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 moves ahead. You have to be patient to be a good chess player. You got to know how to plot to be a good chess player. You know what I'm saying? Quintessential characteristics of being a great chess player. And that's what my book is all about. I teach people how to make moves, how to get money. I use Oprah Winfrey. I use Magic Johnson. I use street people. You know, I use guys that I grew up with who were great chess players who made it out the ghetto. You know, I talk about how I was able to meet all of these rich millionaires. People don't know, man, 90% of my friends are millionaires. Did you know that, Muhammad? I mean, Puffy is a friend of mine. You know what I'm saying? 50 Cent is a personal friend of mine. I mean, Nelly, all these guys are millionaires. You know, Snoop Dogg, who's a millionaire, just got on Twitter and said, everybody go support Ken. Everybody go support Ken. I sold 5,000 books. I made $100,000 in 5 minutes just because Snoop Dogg told people to go and support Ken. That's what I mean by that. I established a relationship with Snoop Dogg over 20 years ago. It's now coming to fruition. It's now coming to fruition. I'm reaping the benefits of the moves that I made back then. That's why I want to teach these young people how to make moves, how to establish relationships, how to build contacts. Contacts, you know, how to become political savvy. And once you understand that, then you can make money like Ken. You can figure out how I'm able to get all these celebrities. I mean, I got a YouTube thing coming out, Brother Muhammad. It's going to be coming out probably in about maybe 2 to 3 months. I'm going to have over 50 celebrities endorse my book simultaneously on YouTube. Same thing with Jay-Z did with his little thing, you know, with the streaming music. And, you know, I have, you know, already over 15 of these endorsements, you know, and I'm going to release them simultaneously on YouTube. Man, can you imagine how much attention my book is going to get? Can you imagine when people see people that they know and they love and, you know, people that they listen to their music endorsing my book all on the same day? This is what I'm trying to teach these guys. And anybody that know anything about me, Google my name, Pimpin' Ken. You know what I'm saying? Once you Google my name, you'll see that I've been on man, I'd have been on everybody's album. I mean, you know, everyone's album. I mean, Jay-Z, you know, I can't even call everybody's name because anybody you want to call, I didn't work with them in the industry. You know, so my point that I'm trying to make is that I did this on purpose. When you see me in the 50 Cent video and it says Pimpin' Ken say don't crime him, imagine if Coca-Cola would have been able to pay me or pay 50 Cent to say Coca-Cola said don't Donald Trump. Can you get my point? Here I am, a guy from Milwaukee, which is about 6 hours from where you are located at, and I'm with one of the biggest artists in the world, and he allowed me to put my name on his video that's right now at 80 million views on YouTube and over 400 or 500 views worldwide, you know, via videos and all other type of outlets. So the point that I'm trying to make is that all of these guys were allowing me to get on their albums. They were mentioning my name, you know, and so on and so forth. Big corporations such as Nike, Reebok, and so on and so forth pay these guys millions of dollars for the same thing. They did it for me for free. I'm going to show you book how to get these things done for free, how to build relationships with celebrities. I'm going to show you how to get rid of those fears. I'm going to build your self-esteem. I'm going to show you how to be a positive thinker, how to have goals and plans, how to have a burning desire, how to have unwavering courage. This is what I teach people in the art of human chess, how to win. You don't need a bunch of me. Man, I promise you, I never gave 50 Cent. I never gave Nelly. I'm just naming some of the names that people might know, right? You know, French Montana just mentioned me on one of the hottest songs in the country, you know, Trap Queens. I didn't give them a dime. But what I did was I was able to employ certain moves and certain strategies that's in my book that led to what's going on today, that led to the moves that come afterwards. So you need, and that's what's wrong with black folks in America. We don't know how to think. I'm trying to show them how to think, like, you know, I mean, let's be for real. You know, I'm going to digress for a minute. I'm going to go to another subject, and then I'm going to get a mic back to you. Let's look at the incarceration thing. Okay, America is 5% of the world's population, but have 25% of the world's incarceration. Over 30-something years ago, you know, a group of businessmen decided to invest in private institutions, privatized prisons, you know what I'm saying, private prison corporations of America, for, you know, CWX and CEO. They decided to invest in the prison system. 25 years later, we are the biggest incarcerated nation in the world, incarcerating nation in the world. We incarcerate more people than some third world countries, you know, combined. I mean, all of the countries combined, we have more people incarcerated in America. I mean, millions of people have been incarcerated in the last 30 years, over maybe 15 million people that went through the system in the last 30 years. And who get paid? These corporations that are on New York Stock Exchange. Now, the reason why I'm saying all this, because I talk about this in my book, that was a cold chess move, Muhammad. They plotted this thing years ago. They, you know, that's what Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton is talking about now. They're talking about the injustice in sentencing, you know, changing the laws, you know, making fair sentencing, you know what I'm saying, changing, you know, the guys getting caught with crack and, you know, all this little stuff they're talking about on the news now because all of this was a plot. It was a plan, and it was a cold chess move. And these people got rich as hell. What's his name? Dick Cheney, the vice president. Anybody can Google this if they think I'm lying. Owned $87 million in prison stock. Now, if he was in the New York Stock Exchange, if he was in New York in the stock market, the Securities Exchange Commission would indict him for insider trading because he knew that these young men were going to be incarcerated because he was one of the guys that was pushing the laws. All of them benefited from this, Brother Muhammad. All of them benefited. And I talk about this in my book. And I'm telling the young people, put down the guns. You know, get away from all of this pimping. Get away from all of these drugs and all this stuff because all of it is a trap. All of it. Right. If you're sitting in a hotel room and you waiting on a girl to go get you some money, or you sitting at home on a call, for prostitution, that's called human trafficking. Human trafficking is not pimping, but they treat the pimps, so therefore they give them life in prison. And I'm telling these guys to run for the border. Get out the game. It's a trap. It's a chess move. You're going to be checkmate. They're going to. We need to start thinking like they think. If their plan is to lock everybody up, then our plan should be to not commit crimes. If we don't commit crimes, if we don't get ourselves caught up in their traps, if we don't walk around with pistols and other little things that they use to entrap us and incarcerate us, then we don't have to worry about going to prison. You know, we don't have to worry about them, you know, making any money. Then they don't have to close all the prisons. But we, you know, we go for the little, you know, I mean, no disrespect, I love all the rappers. But I think the music today, Brother Muhammad, is fueling, you know, a lot of the things that goes on in our community. I think a lot of these guys, you know, the things that they rap about, I think that certain people, certain elements, people call it Illuminati, you call it whoever you want to call it, you know, are paying
right.
young men to sell our young men into gangs. I mean, I was watching an interview by Turk. And Turk said when he was with Cash Money 15 years ago, he said, they didn't know nothing about gangs then. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, my question is, you know, where's all this gang activity coming from? Why is the people who endorse gangs are the number one people that are shown on TV, are the number one rappers, you know, are the number one people that we listen to? I mean, what is going on? I mean, is this by design? I mean, so what you're telling me, if I become a Blood or I become a Crip, then I'm going to be the next Lil Wayne? I'm going to be the next Snoop Dogg?
Mm.
I'm going to be the next baby? You said if I put tattoos on my face, then that means I'm going to be a successful rapper? Because all of the rappers that are successful and that's making a lot of money, they got tattoos on their face and all over their body, and this is accepted by the dominant society, and you guys spent $250,000 to go and see these guys in concert, so you don't think as a young man that I'm out in the hood that I don't want tattoos, I don't want to be a Blood because Lil Wayne's a Blood or because Baby a Blood? You see, you get the point. It's all chess. And I, like I said, I'm not, you know, Baby and Wayne is friends of mine. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not downing what they do. But I'm questioning the people that pay them. You know, why are you willing to give Baby so much money and not give Kendrick Lamar, you know, $100 million? Give Kendrick Lamar $100 million. Give Common $100 million. You know, give Lito Fiasco, whatever his name is, give him $100 million. They talking about something constructive. They talking positive. So, you know, we need to learn how to think. You know, that's what my book do. We need to learn how to manipulate. We need to learn how to be deceptive, not to be deceptive against each other, but to be deceptive so we can learn deception when we see it. You know, people say, well, Ken, I will never be deceptive. I am a Christian, I am a Muslim, and I am never
right.
going to be deceptive. I'm not telling you to be deceptive. I'm telling you to learn deception so you can teach your kids the tricks and trades of the enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I listen to Minister Farrakhan all the time, and all he ever do is delineate or to speak on, you know, the tricks and trades of certain ethnic groups against so-called black folks in America. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not. I mean, me saying this is not, you know, new.
Right.
This is something that our leaders have been speaking about for years. But in my book, I teach you how to watch out for that. I teach you the different trades and tricks of the devil. I teach you how these people get over on you. I teach you how, you know, I mean, you're in the streets. I teach you how not to get played. You know, not that I'm trying to stop the guy that's playing, you know what I mean, you know, to each his reach. But I'm saying that if you read my book, you know what I'm saying, you're going to adopt some of the principles that kids have, and then you're going to be able to be as sharp as kids. And all I do is I take you, if you're just a regular pencil, you know what I'm saying, and you don't have no sharpening, I put you back in the pencil sharpening, and I sharpen your game. That's all I do. You know what I'm saying? I sharpen your game, and you don't have to do, I mean, I don't tell you how to try to pimp. I don't tell you go out there and rob. I don't tell you, if that's what you're looking for, this book is not for you. But if you want to learn how to become a good businessman, you want to learn how, you know, to stay away from certain things and not how to get caught up in certain game plans, then my book is definitely for you. And I know I've been kind of, you know, long on it, but, you know, I mean, sometimes I get caught up and talk too much, but I'm sorry.
Oh, brother, no, sir. The cup is running over, and I appreciate that. I'll be going back home in 2 weeks, and my daughter, one of my daughters, she's graduating from high school, and I'm gonna make this be a part of her graduation gift, along with some more things I'm gonna give to her, because with her coming out of high school, and you know, I want listeners to know it's not just a book for young men or boys. This book is for everybody, regardless of your sex, regardless of your spirituality or religious belief. And, you know, one of the things I asked somebody, I said, you know what? It's just strange that most people that are spiritual stay broke all the time. You know, and I had to sit back and look at this because I've seen a lot of spiritual people, you know, they love the Lord, and we ain't knocking that love the Lord, but you always broke and need somebody to pick up a donation for you, and it's like it's a repeated thing over and over again, year after year, and the only time that black people really have the time, the joy of their lives, when it comes to like February, March, and April around income tax time. But, you know, and I tell people, I say, you know, I told a sister this, I said, you know, if you getting back $8,000, you filing, you know, your children and whatnot, instead of you going to the car lot, instead of you going to get all the Jordans and whatnot, why don't you write down and see what you can use a portion of that money to invest in. You say you hate your job, you say you hate going in, but why not make an investment instead of going to the car lot and take $6,000 of that and put down on a Cadillac Escalade, you know? And so one of the things I advise people to do, you know, I advise people to get some books. You know, I have Think and Grow Rich. I have The Art of War. I have The Leader in You, How to Win Friends, Influence People, and Succeed in a Changing World by Dale Carnegie. You know, and this is what we have to do. We have to invest in ourselves. I'm not caught up in what nobody color may be, their lifestyle may be. I'm focused on what can I get out of that vessel, because one thing I understand that what you get is what you put in. So I just strive to invest in myself. I love to read. I love to study because, you know, steel sharpens steel and men sharpen men. So I'm just grateful for a person like Brother Pimpin' Ken to be on and to inspire us and to show us in so many words this book you need to add to your library. You know, this book you need to add to your life. You got Mother's Day coming up. You know, get this for your mother. You don't have to just continue the same thing to give her some roses and some chocolate candy, especially when she already obesity. You know, get her this book to inspire her to lose weight, inspire her to do the thing that she probably didn't do when she was younger in life. You know, and this is what I'm about, you know, to help another person that's striving to help themselves. And that's why Ken is blessed to get six-figure, you know, blessings in his life, to be able to meet the people that we sit back and look at on social media and through the cable network, you know. So it's a blessing to be a blessing, you know. So I'm grateful for our brother to be a part of this show, and I apologize again for the show to be starting late. But, you know, the race is not to the swift nor to the strong, but the one that endured to the end. But I want us to go to Pimpin' Ken, PimpinKen.net. And I want you to know, Brother Pimpin' Ken and others, that you can download this show. And Pimpin' Ken, you can add this to your archives that, you know, if people want to, you know, tune in, you can download it and put this a part of your project where people can, okay. You can listen to this sun up to sundown. And for those that have missed the show, they can go back to the website and listen to the show. Even they can go to your site. If you can download this and put this on pimpinken.net, and people can hear this interview, so it can help them to understand that Pippin King is loved by millions of people all over the world. And you know, when I was talking to Pippin King, I said, man, Pippin King, if you're doing what you're doing in the USA, what do you think God got for you across that water overseas? You know, you'd be surprised the millions in the people across seas that would love to have you doing tours and doing seminars and whatnot, because there's a lot of people starving for knowledge, starving for love, starving for happiness, starving for the truth. So I only deal with those that's uncut raw. I don't deal with nobody that's covered up with coconut oil, shea butter, Vaseline, and being gay. I deal with the truth because this is what is in my DNA, and that's why, Pimpin King, you can come on this show. Whatever you want to promote, you can use this show anytime you get ready, you know, and that's why I'm just grateful that I can think outside the box. I don't have to wait on nobody to bring me up and introduce them and speak for 5 minutes and 10 minutes, that I can have my own platform to do what needs to be done.
Brother Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Brother Muhammad, you know, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that we go to the barbershop and we pay $20 for a haircut. We pay another $5 for an edge up. We go to the beauty salon, we pay $300 for a hairstyle. We pay $700 for a hairstyle, $800 for a hair. I even got my daughter hair done for one time for $800 because she wanted Remy hair, real Remy hair. You know, we pay for lipstick. We do everything for the outside of our head, but what do we pay for the inside of our head? It only costs $20 to get something on the inside of your head for my book. You can go get a haircut. You can go get lipstick. You can go get eyeliner. You can go get your hair done at the beautician. You can go get an edge up. But how many people, and this is on a daily, this is on a weekly, sometimes biweekly occurrence. Sometimes we get our hair done, you know, twice a month. Sometimes we get our haircut twice a week. But how many people invest in money on the inside of their hair? How many people go and actually invest in a book that's going to enhance their inside as opposed to their outside? And that's all I want people to do. I want them to look at that graphic example that I just gave. I want you to think about what I'm saying. I want you to think about how many times you've been to the barbershop, how many times you've been to the beauty supply store, how many times you went and got your hair done, how many times you've bought MAC makeup versus how many times you went into Barnes & Noble or you went to pippincan.net. Or you can go to my Instagram, @real, R-E-A-L, Pimp, D-I-M-P, Ken, all of the different things that I have to offer in order to enhance you and to make you more intelligent. We need to think about this, people. We need to really think about this. We really need to think about the severity and the seriousness of what Ken just said. You know, it's very important. You know, we spend too much money. You know, we spend a whole lot of money on the outside, but we spend very little money on trying to increase our inside. And that's my mission. That's what I want to say, brother. Those are my final words. Like I said, people go to my Instagram, @realpimpken, and they can become, you can join my, if you don't want to pay for the knowledge, just go join my Instagram, and every day, Brother Muhammad will tell you, I put up something constructive, something positive. You know, I give a post every day. It's like Russell Simmons. It's like a daily inspiration. I do that every day. You know, and I keep people updated on what I'm doing. I post pictures from the cities I'm in. So definitely, you know, that's what I want to let people know. And then once you become a member of my Instagram, then, you know, that leads you to my website and so on and so forth. So @realreal, it's a lot of fake ones now. That's why I say @real, R-E-A-L-P-I-M-P, Ken, K-E-N. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, a lot of people, for your audience, I want to clear this up. I know the biggest question, especially the elders want to ask, well, why is he still calling himself Pippin King? Well, actually, it's in the process of being official, but my name is no longer Pimpin King. It's Pimp Pen, P-E-N, King. I'm pimping my pen now. You know what I'm saying? You know, and people say, well, why did you call yourself Pimpin King? Well, when I was calling myself Pimpin King, even though I didn't have any women in the streets, I was Pimpin King. I was pimping myself. So, yes, it's some semantics there. It's some wordplay, but at the same time, It's for a reason. You know what I mean? Because people want potatoes as well. But why don't you just get rid of white? Why are you using that name? Why are you using this? Why are you using that? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, you can give a baby steak, and the baby is the steak to choke him. But if you give a baby milk, he'll be able to digest the milk because the milk is more, you know, agreeable to his form. You know, the steak, he has to learn, he don't have the teeth to bite into the steak to chop it up. So a lot of times, you know, we don't want to just rush in and say, yeah, well, my name is Professor Ken, or yeah, my name is Pen Ken. You know, we don't want to rush. It's a gradual process. It's chess, my dear friends. So we play a chess. We have to gradually give people what they need. We got to gradually change these young men. You know, I mean, what they've done to our people, it's been 400 years. It's not going to take 4 days to get rid of them. That's the biggest problem with a lot of people. They want things to just change overnight. That ain't how it goes. You know, it takes time to actually put a real plan down and to actually really do some serious conversions. You know, so you can't convert people overnight. You know what I mean? When we came over here, we were, you know, when the slave ships came over here 400 years ago, we didn't speak English. Now we speak English. Some of us speak English better than most Americans, which we are Americans, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about some of the indigenous people of this country, you know, the first settlers that came. So, I mean, just think about what I'm saying. You know, think about what I'm saying. It's real deep. You know, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some Muhammad. It's going to take some Kins. It's going to take some Farrakhan. It's going to take some Al Sharptons and so on and so forth. You know, it's going to take some, you know, some Crips and some Bloods. It's going to take a whole bunch of people that has a common interest, that have a shared view in order to get our young people on the right track. And don't exclude nothing. Because you got to where people don't understand that the first people that came to America was called indentured servants. They were criminals from England. You know what I'm saying? This country was based on crime. Now these same people are law-abiding citizens. They are great Americans. They are the good old people. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, don't just look at it, you know, like these people can't change. Because if the people that came here initially, the first settlers, the pilgrims, if they can change, then the so-called, I mean, a brother made a very interesting, I'm going to leave this at this. I know I got diarrhea in the mouth, but I'm going to leave it at this. Your brother said something very important on C-SPAN. He said that America can accept the black man, the black youth of America, and they can accept that it's a problem. They can accept that the problem can be fixed if they can accept a man and another man getting married. Or they can accept a woman and a woman. They can accept gay marriage, you know, which this country at one time never wanted to accept that. You know, it was the worst thing on earth. You know, it was against the Bible. It was against the Quran. If they can accept that, then they should be able to accept the fact that we as a people, we as young people, we our young people in America, our young men, even though they are criminals and thugs, whatever you want to call them, they can change too. I mean, you know what I mean? They can be accepted into society. You know, you can set up programs and you can set up after school programs and projects to help these kids. I mean, if we could accept, you know, what we didn't accept before, I'm pretty sure we could accept that. So, you know, and this is something that a professor said. I didn't say this. I'm just quoting, you know, somebody that said that. You know what I mean? He has a very valid point. You know what I mean? If we can accept homosexuality in America, then we can accept the problem, that we have a problem in America with our youth and that we can better it. You know what I mean? We just got to accept that this is a problem and quit throwing them, you know, into prisons and saying that, you know, they throw away and they can't be, you know, they can't be changed. You know, I mean, if we accept the fact that we can change them, then we could all work together to change our youth.
That's true. That's true. That's so true. And with that being said, I'm thankful for everyone that have tuning in. And once again, I apologize for the time of the show starting. But it's all good. And you can download this show. You can share it with your family, with your friend, with your neighbors, with your enemies, so they'll know that, you know, I ain't stepping over you. I ain't doing nothing to violate you. I just want you to hear something that have inspired me to let you know that, you know, we're going to have to let bygones back be bygones, and we're going to have to move on because there's bigger and better things ahead of us. So I thank Pimp and Ken for tuning in. Like I said, this is Pimp and Ken's show. Anytime he needs to come on his show to promote whatever he needs to promote or give us some wisdom and some guidance, and I'm thankful for those that are tuning in. And like I said, you can download this show right now, and you can keep it. You can email it to yourself. You can put it on your site. You can put it on Facebook, Twitter, your page. And I thank Pimp and Ken once again for tuning in. And may God bless us and our family with peace, prosperity, wonderful health, life, love, and abundance of wealth, security, and joy forever, forevermore. Peace.